Good morning. Even though I can't be with you in person, I'm grateful that I can at least be with you in this way. I hope you're coping with all the restrictions that are being placed on you at this time. It's important that we keep in touch with one another through different means, whether that's through a phone call or a text message. I will try and keep in touch with all of you as much as I can. Today, we are looking at the continuing series of Jesus' words from the cross. And today we're looking at Jesus' words, my God, why have you forsaken me? But we begin with a prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, you know our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. We pray that as we rest in your word this morning, we may know the peace that comes from your eternal presence and your gracious word. Loving God, we confess before you our own sin, the sin of restlessness, the sin of the church, the sin of the world in which we share. We've not loved you with all our heart. We've not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us and release us from the sins of the past. Remake us so that we walk in your ways through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so the Lord says, if any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. May the God of all mercy forgive your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and fill you anew in the power of his Spirit to serve him in the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, our reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, beginning at verse 45. And Mike Acaster is going to bring our reading to us now.
From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He is calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke apart. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be
Thanks
to
be
God.
to God. So we've gone from limitation to lockdown in just a few days to curb the spread of the coronavirus. Confined to our homes for the most part, some may feel isolated, alone, and even abandoned. Well, this morning, if that's how you're feeling, on the cross, Jesus was also isolated, alone, and abandoned. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm sure you can hear the agony in Jesus' cry. Had God really deserted him? Well, in an important part of understanding Matthew's gospel and understanding the death of Jesus as told by Matthew, is this cry, what they call the cry of dereliction. Deserted and betrayed by his disciples, rejected and condemned by his leaders, taunted by passers-by and fellow victims, Jesus now experiences utter desolation. Even God had forsaken him. There is no worse place to be than to know yourself rejected by God. Of course, I'm sure you know that this cry is taken from the opening words of Psalm 22. Now, some theologians think that because the psalm ends in triumph, Jesus wasn't truly deserted by God. Others have felt that Jesus felt forsaken, but he wasn't really forsaken. That's not what Matthew's telling us. And it's not what Jesus is saying. We cannot escape the truth that Jesus was forsaken on the cross, rejected for our sake so that we can be accepted by God. This is the great transaction where our sins, yours and mine, were placed on Jesus, a bit like me taking this book. And this is our sins, and they were then placed on Jesus. So we are now free to be in relationship with God the Father. We are made righteous before God through the death of Jesus, his Son. But there's a secondary benefit to Jesus being forsaken. That's for us. Not only are we made right before God, also when we are feeling abandoned, we can know that God hears our cry too. Jesus has been abandoned by God so that you don't have to be. There is precisely hope because Jesus suffered for you. You are not forsaken because Jesus was forsaken. So when you're going through tough times, such as now, when we're going through tough times as a nation, as a world, as we are, the whole of humanity, when you personally are experiencing the darkness that life can bring through grief, trauma, difficulty, remember the words of Jesus in that he was forsaken for you. And remember the promise of Scripture, the promise of God that says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God promises never to forsake us because of the cross of Christ. So we say with confidence, in the words of Hebrews 13, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? When you know yourself fully accepted by God, there's no better place to be, especially in difficult times. Here on the cross, Jesus shares in human despair to the full, so that when you are in despair, God knows and understands because of Jesus' abandonment. And so you can come to him whose life, from a human point of view, had fallen apart as he hung on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? But I want just for a moment to think about someone else who was there at the cross, the centurion and the soldiers with him, who exclaim when Jesus died, surely he was the Son of God. You see, Jesus' death had an effect on those around him, like every death does, but more so here. We turn to the Roman centurion and his fellow soldiers who stood at the cross, and we see that these were hardened soldiers, dispassionate, brutal, and without pity for those being crucified. After all, it was just their job. They saw these people on the cross as criminals who were getting what they deserved. But Matthew tells us that Jesus' death did have an effect on these men, these hardened men. And the response from the cross is not what we would expect from hardened soldiers. For them, this seemingly God-forsaken outpost of Judea, far from Rome, seemed an unlikely place to discover that God was among them. And the centurion and his colleagues were some of the most unlikely candidates for this sudden revelation of God's truth. Who would expect a Roman centurion and his fellow soldiers to grasp the true identity of Jesus, when many of Jesus' own fellow Jews hadn't seen it? Even though it's true they don't have a carefully formed faith, these soldiers sensed something of God's presence there at the cross when Jesus died. God was here. God was in Jesus. This was not just another man, not just another death. The soldiers understood that in this death, they saw the Son of God truly revealed. Because it is at the cross where we see his identity, his love, his world-shaped love spread out for all to see. Now, Matthew would have wanted his readers of his gospel, to be surprised by the soldiers' response, but also to understand the soldiers' response. You see, Matthew's gospel starts with Gentile visitors from the East at Jesus' birth. Now at his death, we have Gentile soldiers exclaiming who he is. So from beginning to end, we have Gentiles recognizing the Son of God. Life, I'm sure, was never the same again for these soldiers. They had been in the presence of the one whose presence we long for each and every day. And their lives were shaken just as much as the rocks were shaken around them. So, in times like these, where we are isolated, maybe alone, when your life is shaken to the core, when your world splits apart like the rock split, where do you turn? Some turn to money, some turn to family and friends, or work, some will turn to drink. I was disturbed to hear last night the police constable for Norfolk saying that he is concerned about domestic violence and abuse of children at this time. And that's something we need to pray for, that these things are mitigated against. We need to call down God's blessing upon our community, upon our nation and upon our world. So where do we turn when difficulties arise? Well, of course, it's natural for us to turn to Christ. He is the one who was forsaken for us, the one who gave his life so that we could live. We can be shaken by all kinds of troubles in life, but looking to Jesus gives us hope in times of despair. How might we do this in the coming week? Firstly, can I encourage you to turn to Scripture, to meditate on this passage, to read God's living word and let it speak to you. You know, one of the things that this time does afford us in isolation is time just to be with God, to read the scriptures. Maybe read a book of the Bible that you've never read, or maybe one that you don't understand, and ask God to help you understand it. The second thing you can do is pray. Pray knowing that you are accepted by the true and living God. And pray for your fellow neighbour, for your family, your friends, for our community and for this world. Pray for our government and all governments who are tackling this virus, or at least trying to. The third thing, even in isolation, that we can do is reach out to others to help them know that they are accepted by God in Christ. Obviously, we can't go around and see people, but maybe a phone call here or a text message there, even a wave through the window. However you can do it, let someone this week know that they are loved by God and accepted in Christ through Christ's death on the cross. Tell them that he was isolated and abandoned so that they didn't have to feel like that, that they could know that God is with them now. Christ's cry of dereliction came as he stormed the gates of hell to open the way to eternal life. May his cry be our joy, knowing that he has gone through that so that we can be in his presence day by day. We now come into his presence as we pray. Let's pray. Loving God, just as Jesus knew what it was to be utterly forsaken, we pray for the world at this time, especially for those who are alone and afraid. We pray for those who are unwell with this virus and for those treating them. For our government as it tries to contain the virus. And for everyone's response, that we might act responsibly, think of others at this time. Lord, we pray for our family and friends whom we're unable to be with. Bless them at this time. And we thank you for modern means of communication, that we can talk to them in different ways. Lord, we pray for our church community, scattered into our homes. Yet we thank you that we are one in Christ Jesus, joined in partnership with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we look forward to that day when we're able to gather for worship and be together. But we also look forward to that day when we gather in your near presence, face to face with you in your eternal kingdom. Loving God, all these things we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And together we pray the prayer which he taught us, as we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So before I finish, I hope that you are well. I will try and be in contact with as many of you as I can in the coming week. If you need anything, if you need to call me, please do so. You can contact me either through my mobile phone or through an email or just picking up the phone. Hopefully together, we will get through this. And we will hopefully look back on this time as a time of real blessing, a time of growth, a time when we were able to be close to the Lord. This is a time, I believe, which in fact, even though it's difficult, can be turned into a gift to be able to stop, be still, to listen to God, to read his word and pray. So I wish you God's richest blessing at this time, that this time may be a fruitful time for you, a time of being closer to the Lord than ever before. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with kindness and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.